Hello.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, how are you?
Very good, thank you. All right?
Yeah, I'm good. I never know whether to say good morning or not.
Where are you? In LA?
Yes, I am.
Funny enough, someone asked me if I wanted to do the titles for the Don McCullen documentary, which was great. He sounds hard work to work for, I would imagine.
I mean, it's really interesting because I didn't really know who he was when I went to work for him. So it was like my first real job in advertising. So I worked for a photographer's agent called Mark George, who had the greats.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was back when, you know, the 96 sheet poster was king, and that's where clients spent their money. So I came into this world, and Don happened to be one of the photographers, along with Paul Wakefield and Jerry Oak and John Parker. So, like, we were doing really amazing advertising, and Don just couldn't believe that he was being paid to kind of go off and do a Foster's ad in India and shoot it the way that he would shoot reportage. So it was lovely. I was along for the ride. You know, my mum's best friend worked for The Observer at the time, and she was beside herself that I was working with him. So it kind of, you know, I never really knew him beforehand, so I just really got to meet the man who I was working with, who was awesome.
Go on, and let's start this thing. So, Parv. So,
well, the thing is, like, if I introduce Susan, I mean, I always think of Susan as the super producer, if there is such a thing. I think the highest thing you can be is an EP, and I always think of Susan as like the Premier League of producers. So I think that's what we'll stick with. Are you happy with that, Susan?
I'm bright red right back here. Thanks very much, Parv.
Where are you working, Susan, at the moment?
I'm still freelance. I'm really just working with a handful of directors, you know, as and when they start to, you know, like, I only really change when I find someone else I'm really keen to work with, which probably sounds really arrogant, but you've known me for a long time, you know I'm not like that. So, you know, it's just, it's always been my way. I've always followed the work.
So how did you make the switch from here to there, Susan?
I've always wanted to live here. So basically, I realized that producer's not considered a creative role for a visa. You know, it's not like being a cameraman or a costume designer. So basically, I realized I had to start doing the work that was going to, you know, get me in the limelight and kind of make me, you know, for the criteria of the visa. So that's what I started following. And I did that for about 10 years. And then I applied for the visa and got it.
Really? With the plan to go out to LA?
Always.
Why? What was it? Had you seen it on the TV and the films?
I've always been massively influenced by cinema ever since an early age. You know, that was like when I was growing up and a teenager. I've got a younger sister who's 5 years younger than me, and that was like my mum's creche on a Saturday, you know, drop you off at the local cinema for a double viewing. You know, I've always really been into it, but the main thing was that I was just seeing the way that work was going, and we were coming out of that golden age of advertising, you know, because we were globalizing and the UK was slowly being sucked up into that, and America still has such a big audience, such a big country, and all our creatives were heading over here and all our directors were heading over here, and it was just like, this feels like the right place to be.
And how long have you been over there now?
8 years.
8 years. So, Susan, from those days when you were being dropped off by your mum at the cinema, recommend something that people could watch that they may not have considered.
I mean, to be honest with you, Raiders of the Lost Ark is my all-time go-to film, because that was really the film that made me realise that all those names at the end of the film was a job. I remember going into the cinema one day with a pad and furiously scribbling down different jobs, and, you know, Google wasn't around back then, so you went to the library and you pulled out an encyclopedia and you start looking up what people did. You know, so that for me is a... you know, like one of those like desert island films. I watch a lot of cinema still. You know, I watch a lot of TV. I do a lot, you know, for research and stuff. You know, I got really hooked on the Jordan documentary.
Oh yeah, the Last Dance.
Yeah.
Amazing, yeah.
Found out so much that I didn't realise, you know, as an Air Jordan wearer from my teens, I didn't really realise, you know, how amazing that particular period in time was.
What did you know about him when you were wandering around London in your Air Jordans? Did you know anything?
Not really. I mean, basketball was never a thing. I mean, you know what it's like in the UK. You're either into football or soccer, as I call it now, much to the horror of probably everyone who's listening from the advertising world. You didn't really know about other sports. You know, what really did you, you know, we didn't really play that many sports in school. You knew about tennis because of Wimbledon once a year. So basketball hadn't really felt like it was a thing. You know, we played netball.
You just knew they were cool shoes.
Exactly. Because I grew up as an Adidas wearer. You know, I mean, it was a real big deal to switch to Nikes. My Adidas Gazelles were like king. I mean, that was it.
Adidas, so much cooler.
Do you think? I mean, he wanted to wear Adidas. That was his choice. I remember when I used to be at Liga Stellini and work on Adidas. And at the time, I think it was sort of known within Adidas that he'd approached them and he wanted to do the deal with Adidas. Yes, and they turned him down. And it references that. I can't remember how much in the documentary, but...
Yeah, his manager talks about it. I mean, it's incredible when you think about, like, you know, it's kind of like in the top 10 of great misses. I remember it being Advertising Law. I did that massive attack commercial for the World Cup, the black and white one, right, for Liga Delaney, for Adidas. And they were talking about it then. I mean, you know, it was...
Oh, really?
It was like a urban myth that wasn't...
They were still talking about the fact that they nearly had Jordan, or they could have had Jordan. Really? Wow.
Here's a question. From all the things that people have been telling you that they've been watching, has it inspired you to go and watch it?
Yeah,
loads of things. We've watched loads of things because of it.
What have you seen, Paul? So, for example, I watched Normal People because it got such a big shout out.
I think The Last Dance was something when we first started.
Yeah, we've had some good recommendations going there. And, of course, Billy Mead, our friend, recommended The Vicar of Dibley for...
Dave tries to get that into every episode.
I try and reference Billy as much as I can, but, you know, you might want to, I'm just saying, Sousa, you might want to reconsider that if you passed it at the time and not appreciated it.
So, Sousa, are you still working? Have you been working in this lockdown, or have you been able to work?
I did one of the very early COVID ads, like literally 3 weeks into it. I did one of the first remote ads with the Hoffman Matoya boys who I work at with MJZ over here. We did that, and that was kind of bizarre, you know, because we were first, because you could do nothing here. Everything was shut. Everything was remote, you know, you weren't leaving your house and all that kind of stuff. And where I am, I'm not in main LA because we have a house up in the mountains. So we're in this kind of like quite remote, tiny little community. So, you know, it was really fun to kind of do this because it was really testing all this theory of, you know, how does eight people from, you know, like nowhere near each other link up and work in real time?
What have you learned from this period that you'll take forward, Sousa, from jobs like that, trying to figure that? Is there stuff that you've picked up that...
I mean, you know, I've always believed that a crew is what makes you. You really are as strong as the people supporting you. So when you, you know, and you can do that very easily remotely, but what you've, there's so much that happens on the fly when you're filming that you need to respond to, that I feel some of the spontaneity that you naturally get, those happy accidents that happen during production or on a filming day, that, you know, sometimes yield the best scenes or the best takes out of it, will be lost. I miss that.
So have you learned anything about yourself in this period of lockdown? I don't know whether it's been as strict in LA as it's been here.
Yeah, no, it's been really... And where I am, you can't get anything delivered. Early days were like hazmat wearing supermarket, you know, where they counted you in and counted you out, which was kind of surreal. Things I've learned about myself. I look good with blue hair.
Right.
Something I've never done before. Kind of took half an hour to do and 4 hours to clean up the bathroom. I've discovered that 30 minutes of exercise every second day for 3 months really does work. But, you know, I spent a lot of time, since I've been in LA, I've started doing indie film. I've always done a little bit of indie film, but this last year I made my first film with my director and, you know, it was our first feature film. So we did this thing where we were meant to release in the cinemas in April or May. Right. Still kind of backwards and forwards, and we had to do what's known as a pivot, where we, you know, not big enough fish to wait it out like a Bond or a Mulan. Yeah. So it's been busy getting that off, you know, out and released, and it released here in May, mid-May.
Where could people see that? Is that on...
It's on Apple and all those things at the moment, like in the US. And we've just got UK distribution, so it'll be out in the UK end of the year.
And what's that called, so that people can look out for it?
It's called Blood and Money, and it's with our old friend Tom Berenger.
Oh, wow. From Black Rain, but also, I'm trying to think of the famous...
Platoon
is his big film that I couldn't remember.
Yeah, anymore. There's one from the past that's worth checking into.
So what would you stock up on for the next pandemic?
I don't know. I mean, it's been interesting because I, you know, as a producer, you're a planner. So, of course, you want to be in lockdown with a producer because you don't really... You've got everything. My pantry looks a little bit like a store, like a corner store. You know, I just really enjoyed it. I think I would have bought yeast earlier. That became like the holy grail.
That's coming up quite a lot, actually, yeast and flour.
Yeast is coming up a lot. What have you been baking then? Bread or cakes or everything?
Yeah, everything. I mean, I bake anyway. Like, it's like one of my stress... de-stressors, but I've never done bread. So I'd had this great book from this San Francisco bakery called Tartan, who do like the world.
I bought that last week. I was reading it last night.
Yeah, World's Greatest Croissants. And
great, yeah.
I started to do the mother, like with everyone. I'm like, you know, never had the time. Always read how to make it and thought, Jesus, who's got that kind of time? And I thought, here you go. And after three attempts and about 4 weeks, I realized it just wasn't going to happen. So that's why I was late on the yeast. Because then I switched to Jim Sullivan's technique from the Sullivan Bakery in New York. And he does a Dutch oven, you know, like one of those clay pots or, you know, like one of those, just you can put it in the oven like a casserole dish, basically.
Yeah,
put it in there, and that's become my jam. I kind of got really into that.
So have you given up on sourdough?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. That and jam. Jam's an old lady's game.
So have you noticed anything up in the hills of nature kind of fighting back, of seeing more animals, louder animals, animals fighting? 100%.
I mean, we've definitely got the world's greatest amount of chipmunks up here. I mean, I've never really seen chipmunks and squirrels up here the way that they have. And I feel like I'm almost convinced that they're tunneling underneath our house at the moment. And any minute now, we're just going to fall into the ground.
Susan, Dave's got a new question for us this week. His one is, when was the last time you used cash?
That's a really good one. I feel like I did it like a week ago just for fun. Yes, that was it. I went into a stall. They've got these like markets on the roadsides here, you know, that you can buy like oranges and stuff. And I finally got brave enough to actually just go and buy it from there because, you know, it's human contact really close. Yeah. And I use cash there. So I bought like 10 pounds of oranges and 5 pounds of grapefruits from the stand and I use cash.
Did it feel a bit weird?
It did. And I didn't really know what to do with the money because I was like, do I sanitize it before I put it in my pocket?
The thing is, you feel happy with the money that you're handing over, less so happy with the change that you're getting back.
Exactly.
Which is a weird concept. So, Susan, what will be different when you go back?
I mean, travel's definitely a thing. I mean, a lot of my jobs are away, you know, and I travel a lot because my family's still in the UK. UK's still huge for me, you know, just in terms of life, like I'm always backwards and forwards from there. That's definitely a thing. I don't know what that looks like. You know, can't really fly in for a 2-day commercial in anywhere anymore because you've got quarantine for 2 weeks. So that's definitely going to be a thing. I hope we're all going to be a bit kinder to one another. I think this has really been a seismic shift in the world, and that's affected everybody in a way that some of the little things that have happened, you know, it's kind of got world war status to it.
Are you seeing signs of that where you are, Susan, when you go out?
Definitely. I mean, LA is always one of those kind of crazy, friendly places. Hey, how are you? How are you today? You know, have a great day. You know, so there's a whole load of verbiage that goes with the service industry that's so huge and so good here. But I'm definitely seeing it in neighbours. And I live in like a little cul-de-sac up here, which is quite unusual. I feel like that's the Brit in me that found a house in a cul-de-sac. And we've got 5 other houses here. And we did this thing. You know, all of us have lived up here. I've had the house up here for 6 years. And no, none of us have ever done this before. And we all kind of came out on our front of our houses with our table and our own dinner. And we all sat and had dinner with each other.
Yeah, brilliant.
When was the last time you wore something without an elasticated waist?
I tend to still get dressed because I've been doing, you know, film work. I've had this routine where I'm kind of like, I get up, I, you know, do my thing and stuff. And then I jump on the computer and there's just something that's like, doesn't feel right about doing it in track pants. I'm not, you know, but here's pretty casual anyway. So, you know, if you turned up at work in track pants, they wouldn't really care on a normal day.
And are you drinking more or less alcohol?
My husband would probably say more. I think it's about the same because you don't, you know, LA's a strange place. You know, we don't have any pubs or anything. You know, whenever I hang out with my English mates, we're always saying that, like, there's no one great pub to go to like you do in Soho and, you know, all that camaraderie's gone. So, you know, you go and meet someone, you really only have one drink anyway. So I suppose realistically I'm drinking a little bit more, but I have a conscious couple of days off.
So, Dave, you got one last question?
We've got one last question is, have you seen an ad or piece of marketing that you've loved or hated?
I mean, obviously, I've seen American ads now because I'm here. There's an ad for this, like, confectionery called Trolley, T-R-O-L-L-I. And they've done this, like, jellied worms. So it would be a bit like Arden using jelly babies to make an ad. And for some reason, it just makes me laugh out loud.
Right. Look out for that. Like Aardman, the plasticine people.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll have a look.
Excellent.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you very much.
See you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.